south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, I get a lot of emails from people asking me about things I don't talk about much because I don't feel like it, like my personal life, and the dating, mating, romance, and love theme. Although, you long-time listeners know that sometimes I dip a toe into those waters, not much, because those sex, love, mating, and dating questions are, well, loaded questions. That means you might not like the answers too much, and they're certainly not going to be PC. And though this show, The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, is kind of south of the border, or south of the border advice column, the fact is, guys and gals who are coming down here to Latin America solely for the mating, dating, romance angle, that is, they're coming down looking for a long-term relationship and not the sex tourism part. Well, as it turns out, 95% of those cases, the expat visitor, usually a guy, is just a frustrated geezer, unlucky in love, often with grown-up kids and a two- or three-time loser in the marriage department. So what's he come down for? Just looking for a nice young Latina girl to bring home to Dubuque or Cleveland, with the idea that because she's a Latina, she'll be more old-school, less complicated, and more mothering. Well, you longtime listeners have heard me say before, that's a very bad idea and almost never works out. And I could give you a list as long as my arm as to why. I'm sure you can figure out some of those reasons yourself. The fact is, the only gringo-latina and gringa-latino relationships I've ever seen work out in the long term is when the North American half of that equation decides to live here in Latin America permanently. In other words, you don't go back. You set up housekeeping here in Latin America. Because, suffice it to say, if you hook up with a Latino or Latino down here and bring them up to the States, the culture clash for your Latin partner will be severe. Remember, you're dropping them into your neighborhood, a place where they have got zero friends and relatives. Remember, Latinos are very family-oriented. And you'll be cutting him or her off from that cold turkey. It'll be just you, Skype and WhatsApp overload, and a lot of moping around. So anyway, bringing a Latino or Latina back to the States is a very bad idea. Never seen it work out. However, I've seen many gringo-latina and gringa-latino relationships flourish nicely as long as they remain here in Latin America. Though that's not completely true. Most first-world women who hook up with Latin guys and remain in Latin America have to understand it's a macho society and these guys will cheat. If you can handle that, and I don't know too many gringas who can, then go for it. That said, digging into a very large virtual pile of emails on the subject, I've decided today's the day we're going to go into some of that stuff, because even though virtually all the emails I get on the subject are, by nature, repetitive, mixed in with some of that stuff are some questions I wanted answered a long time ago, too. So let's talk about some of that mating dating stuff you won't see mentioned on blogs. As usual, I'll slice, dice, and paraphrase some of these emails, so as to keep the conversation out of the gutter and not offend too many people. Because, you know, conversations about sex, love, romance, etc. can go into some dodgy territory, especially if that conversation is taking place in a locker room. And I'm not just talking about the boys' locker room here. This one comes from Justin, and I believe he's done some traveling in Latin America. He says, Johnny, my take on the indigenous young women in Latin America, especially Central America, that is the ones that wear their tribal dress every day, is that they are pretty much unavailable to unattached gringo expat males. Just like up in the U.S., where Orthodox Catholic, Jewish, and Mormon young ladies, etc., might not include the average American guy in their mating and dating pool. So, Johnny, my question is, if an expat does happen to get involved with one of these young indigenous ladies, I'd assume you'd have to move things along quite delicately and slow, with no real serious physical relationship prior to marriage, if marriage is the intent. Then, after you've tied the knot, I assume you'd also be married to the entire extended family, pitching in with the farm animals and driveway chickens, too. All right, Justin, thanks for that. But here's the thing. You talk about these indigenous young ladies in their tribal getup, which, as you know, signifies what tribe they're in. And remember, every tribe has its own language. For example, we can use Guatemala, because they've got 25 different tribes, thus 25 different indigenous languages. And here's something I'm sure you didn't know. Except for the maybe two or three major indigenous languages throughout Central America, none of those languages are taught in the public school. What you get is Spanish, and that's it. But of course, as you may have figured, there are some do-gooders from the states and NGOs coming down, making a big stink about that, putting pressure on local governments to include some of the indigenous languages in the public schools. Where have I heard that before? Does that sound good to you? Is that logical? The fact is, most of the indigenous people live out in the boonies in their own small towns, and those are the public schools that are most neglected. The broken windows, no running water, not enough desks, books, or even pencils. Then you've got these idiot NGO do-gooders from the States coming in saying, oh, now you got to start teaching the local language. When the computers don't work and they don't even have consistent power for lighting. Can you see the problem here? No sense of priority. Another reason why I just can't stomach those do-gooders and NGOs. But I digress as usual. The point is, if a gringo or expat goes out with an indigenous lady, or an indigenous guy in the case of gringas, you're absolutely going to have to learn your Spanish, and if it sucks as you date this person, you'll find if you're hanging around her town or hood, she'll be mostly engaged in her indigenous language, because you see, in those small towns and barrios just loaded with indigenous people, they may be in a country with Spanish as their primary language, and they're teaching it in the schools, but the default language, whether they're in the house shopping or in the street, working or just hanging out, will be their local indigenous language. And man, if you want to talk about your head practically exploding, if all you know is English, your Spanish really sucks, and your girlfriend or boyfriend is speaking Cachical or Quiche, and that's what it's going to be like at the dinner table and with her friends, at first it'll make you feel like you're on another planet. But that is a hump you can get over. A lot of people have. Number two, this will sound harsh, but we're talking about the lowest class of society here in Latin America, and that's what you have to look forward to if you date an indigenous person. So what you've got at the upper end of the socioeconomic scale here in Latin America are the people we call criollos. Lighter skin, taller, some European blood. Mostly once you've dug through the surface and gotten down to the nitty-gritty of their personalities, they're a bunch of stuck-up, racist, classist, superficial gringo wannabes who haven't read a book since college. Other than that, they're mighty fine people. That book thing sounds really familiar, doesn't it? So basically, the criollo class hang out and live in upscale neighborhoods, have their SUVs and bodyguards, and their maids, gardeners, and maintenance people are generally shorter, darker indigenous people. However, the deep, dark, untold secret of the criollo class is that almost all of them have some indigenous blood in them, but they'll never admit that. I mean, come on, when the Spanish conquistadors first came over, who do you think they raped and pillaged? The only ones on the continent were the indigenous. So there's always some indigenous blood that the upper class criollos will never mention. Unless, of course, a criollo's family was a recent arrival, in the last couple generations anyway, from Europe. So there is a very tiny percentage of criollos who might be German, Italian, or 100% Spanish. So they're instantly sucked into the upper criollo classes, and they become part of that society. Now the fact is, you'll never see an upper class criollo type going out with an indigenous person. Though a lot of Latin soap operas, telenovelas, have a running plot line where the rich owner or his son is shtupping the indigenous maid. Note that for generations, the indigenous people have been the criollo's support system. They wouldn't be living like kings and queens without that cheap labor. And even though these days where everybody seems to be PC, you'll hear enlightened criollo classes, especially the younger, naive, college-aged ones, saying the indigenous should make more money, they owe it to them to increase their education levels, etc. You hear that kind of lip service all the time, especially in the media where you see these criollo creeps getting interviewed. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, they're doing their damnedest to keep the status quo. After all, you can't run a coffee, sugar, or pineapple plantation without having a large throng of workers making $10 a day. I want to point out mine and every other expat gringo's hypocrisy. We're all actually piggybacking on the classism of the criollos who make the rules down here. If it wasn't for them, we couldn't afford to have full-time maids and gardeners. And you know, when gringos and expats get together, someone always spouts out about how cool it is to be able to afford a full-time maid and gardener on a crappy Social Security check. We all know up in the States that would be in the realm of fantasy. All right, so if the indigenous people are on the very lowest socioeconomic strata, when you come down here, you'll see that for yourself, that will tend to make a mixed dating-mating relationship all that more difficult. And by the way, in some Latin countries, like Bolivia, Peru, Guatemala, and a few others, the indigenous people are 30 to 40% of the population. So let's say you're in a country that has 30% indigenous at the bottom and 5% criollo at the top. Actually, it's less than 5%, probably more like 2%. So then, what about all the Latinos and Latinas that fall in the middle of those extremes? Well, they call themselves Latinos or Ladinos. They're shorter and browner than the Criollos. Often, you can tell by looking at them that they've got a lot of indigenous blood in them, but they, like the Criollos, will not admit it. And they'll never wear those indigenous tribal textiles because they disavow being part of the indigenous culture. They even disavow any indigenous blood at all, even though DNA testing in that group has proved theirs just loaded with indigenous blood, also mixed in with a bit of Spanish or European blood. Again, it all goes back to that colonial raping and pillaging, which is why when you walk into practically any Ladino's house, there'll be a wall of fame somewhere, usually in the hallway or the living room, photos of some ancient old relative, usually a guy with a handlebar mustache, 18th century looking guy, sometimes in a Sergeant Pepper uniform. He's the all-important family blood link back to Spain, which is why nearly 100% of the time when you ask a Ladino what nationality is, he'll tell you the country he's from, whether it's Honduras, Peru, whatever. And also, if you give him half a chance, he'll tell you about his ancestor that came over in 1826, and he'll drag you over to see the faded fungus-infected portrait on the wall. So, with practically every Latin American having indigenous blood, and the only ones who'll admit it are the ones wearing indigenous clothes, funny enough, or maybe not so funny, you'll find the word Indio, a shortened form of indigenous, practically as insulting as the F word is to us. So, when you hear someone use that word Indio, whether you're eavesdropping or you're actually in a conversation, you'll notice they'll almost always lower their voice a bit and scan the room before they say it, because it is a major insult. In fact, in the middle classes, them's fighting words. You call someone an Indio, it better be behind closed doors. Now, with family and close friends, sometimes you'll hear younger Ladinos use it against each other in fun. Again, a lot like the N-word up in the States. And I'll bet you'll notice when you get down here and you're sitting around with a mixed crowd of Ladinos and gringos, when somebody pulls a boner, like, for example, spills a drink, does something stupid, someone in the crowd, usually a friend or relative, will say, Indio, in the same tone that an average gringo might call his friend or a guy in the room a dickhead. In which case, you'll never hear a gringo say that in a kindly manner, like, say, that was dumb, you're a dickhead. He'll say, dickhead, which is how a Ladino will use the word Indio. They'll say, Indio. They'll say it short and curt. My advice to gringos and expats is to drop it completely from your vocabulary. Never use the word at all. Because if you ever were to say it, even in casual conversation, around an indigenous person, or in front of your cleaning lady or gardener, man, you can bet they'll resent you for it. Even though from then on, he or she might smile in your face, you've done some damage. So FYI, the word indigenous, perfectly fine. No problems at all. It's neutral. It does no damage. But the word Indio, look out. But back to Justin's inquiry about the consequences of gringos and expats mating, dating, and or hooking up romantically or otherwise with an indigenous person, tribal, costume, getup, and all. Well, first of all, as you longtime listeners may have heard me mention, I've been down here close to 30 years now, see indigenous people all the time. I like them, most of them are great people, but you won't find many gringo or gringa expats or visitors mating or dating them. Now, talking strictly about boy and girl talk, number of times I've been in a car with a bunch of gringos and expats, and suddenly you pass through a small town where you see mostly indigenous people. Often it seems when you're way out in the boonies, some of those towns are completely indigenous. I've been in that situation a number of times where a gringo or gringa in the car will say, hey, look, there's a really cute girl or really handsome guy. I mean, for an indigenous person. What a qualifier, huh? So yeah, us enlightened gringos and expats are guilty of hypocrisy and lookism too. And once I remember a gringa in the car said that about a handsome young indigenous guy, and I said, would you go out with a guy like that? And she said, Johnny, you know, the guy is like 5 feet tall, and you know, I'd end up paying for dinner. Which pretty much says it all regarding first world gringas and their romantic notions of indigenous guys. I think once in my entire time down here did I ever see a gringa romantically involved with an indigenous guy. I assume so because they were walking down a busy street holding hands. And you know what? They were being scrutinized by everyone because it's just so uncommon. Now, you've heard me say this before, but it really is every Latin guy's fantasy to hook up with a first world gringa. And so much so that I can't tell you how many times I've been with a group of gringos and Latinos, and suddenly we spot, usually at a disco or a bar, on or near the gringo tourist trail, that is, a tall, fair-haired, light-skinned gringa with a shorter, darker, obviously local Latino guy. And the comments from the peanut gallery are always the same. Man, I don't know what she sees in him, but he just won the lottery. Hey, don't kill the messenger. I'm just telling you what it's like to live, play, work, and or hang out here in Latin America. Don't you want to know what gringos and expats are thinking about and saying to each other? People just don't write about these things in their blogs, you know? Now, you know it's true that upper-class Latinos, what I call the adult children of the rich, sounds like an oxymoron, but it's really not. Not often, but very occasionally, one will hook up with or marry a gringa expat. I mean, look, these little princes have been catered to all their lives. They've gone to the helicopter schools, their English is very good. Most have never done a load of laundry or made a bed in their lives. They didn't have to. They had maids doing all that. Often you'll notice that many of the men in the family are fat and dirtbag ugly, yet the women are kind of beautiful. Money attracts beauty, you know? You see that all the time in the high-end shopping malls, too. Another perfect example, the British royal family. Man, do they have some deeply ingrained ugly genes. Case in point, Prince Charles. One of the big reasons he married Diana, right? Certainly an effort to dilute that weak chin, big eared gene that runs in that family. Actually, it kind of gallops in that family, huh? The point is, on occasion, you will see the handsome Antonio Banderas type Latino. I'm talking about the Banderas of 20 or so years ago. Now he kind of looks like a Latin Keith Richards. Have you seen him lately? He's like 120 pounds of washed out wrinkles. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah, talking about mixed gringo-gringa, Latino-Latina hookups. So anyway, I have seen the occasional first-world gringa dancing all sexy or walking down the street holding hands, usually with a good-looking Latin guy. Though most gringas and gringos will assure me that's usually a gringa on vacation having one of those forbidden long-distance flings you hear so much about. But of course, gringo guys do that too, but let's focus on the women for a second. Normally, since she's on vacation, just a temporary thing, but guess what? These Latin guys want to try to make it permanent. They know the key to winning the lottery is to get her in the family way. The kid becomes an automatic U.S. citizen, and that's his way in. Not fair, you might agree, but 100% legal. So in the vast majority of the cases where it's a gringa and a Latino who are romantically attached, if she's not living down here permanently, it's kind of a fling for her and a long-term mission for him. Hey, again, don't kill the messenger here. I've seen that situation with my own eyes so many times. And in rare cases, the Latin guy's plan actually works out. In fact, a while ago, a couple of good-looking Latin disco kings told me that though they live some 50 miles away from the nearest somewhat gringoized tourist area, they make sure that on Fridays and Saturday nights, they hit the discos there. And what do you think their main mission is? Not so dumb, huh? So, gringos, when you come down, keep that in mind. But of course, every gringoized area has its rockin' disco bars. And it never fails. Seems like, especially on Friday and Saturday nights, by 11 o'clock, there's a goodly number of college-age gringas, kind of drunked up, dancing with the local boys, having a good time for sure. Meanwhile, you got any number of young Latin dance kings, all decked out, suave and handsome, who have just one thing on their minds. Well, two, actually. One is dancing, and believe me, even the crappiest Latin male dancer will wipe the floor with me or any other gringo I know, which never fails to impress young adult gringas on vacation, especially after a few drinks. And being in a foreign country a couple thousand miles away from Cleveland, well, some of them let their guard down, their standards, and a few more things. To which I say, go ahead, have fun, you're on vacation. Just remember, to you, it might be a long-distance fling. To him, a guy living in a scruffy neighborhood making $300 or $400 a month, what do you think? In fact, I personally know a young, beautiful girl from Israel. Came down for a month to visit a couple of friends on the gringo tourist trail. Was pursued by one of these handsome young Latins she met at a disco. At least he didn't ride the chicken bus. He had his own motorcycle. On the payment plan, of course. Well, he poured on the charm, knocked her up. She fell in love. They made plans. She went back to the States, had the kid. Parents practically disowned her, but they came around. Got the guy a legal visa. And now, according to her, he sits around all day in their apartment, addicted to Spanish Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and video games. Like expat Eddie says, stupidity is the disease of the young. And since 40 is the new 20, I guess you could be really stupid up to and beyond the age of 40 as well. Now, speaking of expat Eddie, I do get a lot of emails asking for more expat Eddie stories and some things about his life here in Latin America. Of course, they want to know about his businesses and how he turned $5,000 into, well, probably $5 million by now, without a business degree. In fact, I think he only went 2 years to college, dropped out when asked to declare a major. All right, since we're talking about gringos and gringas mating and dating here in Latin America, here's an email I promise to answer, even if I get some heat for it. Starts out, "Dear Johnny, I've never heard you talk about how expat Eddie hooked up with his, quote, model type Latina girlfriend. He doesn't sound like the kind of guy who hangs out in dance clubs, gringo bars, etc., where the model types would be found. Whereas his model girlfriend most likely did and or still likes that kind of scene. That's the world of models, so what does he do about that? He also sounds like a guy who isn't impressed with women who are all about looking hot and essentially using their good looks to weaponize themselves. Hey, I like that. That being said, Johnny, if you don't mind letting the cat out of the bag, or if Eddie doesn't mind, where did these two even meet to begin with? And, other than the initial physical attraction to a hot younger woman, why would he turn it into a long-term, seemingly full-blown relationship? Maybe if he travels a lot, it's actually more a part-time thing with strong emphasis on the physical. Who knows? Typically, model-type women from almost all cultures don't have a lot else to offer than good looks and being a trophy for their man to show the world. Johnny, maybe you can take a few minutes to enlighten us all on some of this. Thanks for the great shows, as always. Signed, Mr. J. All right, before we peel back the layers of Expat Eddie's love life, hope he doesn't hear this, I'd like to let you know that I've picked the dates for my July 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. We'll start on Saturday, July 7th to 18th, through Thursday, July 12th, 2018. You'll be drinking from the fire hose in and around Guatemala, Central America once again. 90% of the time, well off the gringo tourist trail, in that famous Altiplano I talk so much about. So if you're interested in getting what people are saying is a 3 to 5 year head start on your plan B, plus being introduced to a great network of expats and gringos that can help you along the way, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and put the word seminar in the subject box, and I'll put you on my early bird waiting list, and you'll get all the information before I broadcast it on the show. So again, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the list. Oh, and as is the custom with almost all my seminars now, if you're going to come alone as a single person, I'm usually able to hook you up with another single person sharing a double occupancy room, and both of you can save $500 off even the early bird discount price. By the way, no mixed genders on that double occupancy deal. Then again, I guess there's 65 different genders now, right? Man, am I glad I don't live up in the States. How about you? How's your plan B coming? So just how did Expat Eddie meet Claudia, his famous runway model girlfriend? Here's how it went. Well, I'd say about 10 years ago now, in the tiny country of El Salvador, Central America, that's where Eddie got his start in the restaurant business, he was just starting out with kiosk number one, a tiny little place in an upscale mall in San Salvador, the capital city of El Salvador. Now, the country of El Salvador has a beach. It's on the Pacific side. Now, I'm not a fan of the beaches on the Pacific side of Central America. The water's murky, there's undertows. Not at all like the crystal blue waters of the Caribbean, but if that's the only beach you have, then people flock there. And one of the favorite little resort towns there is called La Libertad, the Liberty. A nice little strip about a half mile long, right on the beach. Hotels, restaurants, discos, hangout spots. Not run down and scruffy, but not real high-end like in gringoized spots like Cancun and Costa Rica. We're talking about beaches here that are well off the gringo tourist trail. Now, Latin America has a lot of holidays called feriados. They've got a lot more of them than we do up in the States, and they're also days off from work. Sometimes, as we do with Easter and Thanksgiving, combined with a Thursday or Friday, so you get a really long weekend out of it. Now, I was there with Eddie when he first met her, so I can tell you exactly what happened. Turns out, like in a lot of beach towns in the States and in Latin America, on those holiday weekends, there are tons of beachfront activities and promotions going on. In fact, that particular weekend, I don't even remember what the holiday was, right in front of this particular hotel bar, they had a little stage set up with bands going, starting at around noon, beach chairs set up all around a beach bar, and they had set up a sand volleyball court right in front of the hotel that Eddie and I were staying at. Now, when they have these big beach events and promotions, a lot of the big beer companies, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, 7-Up, etc., will hire a bunch of models, put them in bikinis with their logos all over them, and they'll set up little stations on the beach or walk around giving out free samples. So there were 3 or 4 hot-looking ladies from Coca-Cola, some from Pepsi, the rum companies even, 2 bikini-clad girls wearing tuxes giving out samples of Johnny Walker. Then there were the Hawaiian Tropic girls and the girls from Banana Boat Sunscreen giving out samples too. So you had all that going on, plus live music. And what's famous down here during the holidays on the beach and draws huge crowds, a thing called a Bikini Open. That's right, Bikini Open. Sounds kind of X-rated, but it's not. The word is spelled in English, Bikini Open. They don't use the Spanish translation at all. And it's not for amateurs. You just don't come with a bikini and compete. They're pre-selected, sometimes weeks before the event. And in this case, all the beautiful girls giving out those samples were in the contest. But first, all those hot girls in bikinis got into a scheduled volleyball game. They were up against a bunch of muscled guys who were down there promoting a chain of fitness clubs in the capital. The guys let the girls win, par for the course. So then after the volleyball game came the Bikini Open. And who do you think won? Eddie was soon to find out her name was Claudia. Well, later that night, after the beachfront activities were finished and the discos were raging, Eddie and I were sitting right at the rail of a beach bar. And next to us at the bar, there were three or four of those bathing beauties with those thick-headed muscle men bodybuilders as their escorts. So the kings and queens of the beach party were getting their 15 minutes of fame. Not that they were acting like jerks, but they were strutting their stuff. Now, the crowd was kind of thick around the bar. You had to belly up to it to get a drink. And Eddie and I had choice seats. So right in front of us, this big bruiser muscle guy is hanging all over the winner of the Bikini Open. You could tell she was not liking it. She was trying to get away from him. Somehow, with all the pushing and shoving, the bruiser wedged himself in next to Eddie, and Eddie's drink fell all over his pants and splashed the lady pretty good, too. She grabbed some napkins, said something nasty to the guy, and he went off in a huff. At the time, Eddie only knew about 20 words of Spanish, so I translated for him. I said, she just told that macho jerk to get lost and that she was going to tell that gringo to buy her a drink. That would be Eddie. And you know, Eddie, he's laid back. He didn't care that his drink was all over his lap. But he doesn't like to take orders. He said, Johnny, do me a favor and tell her, I don't want to buy her a drink. Tell her to get one from somebody else. Then he said, I bet the queen of Banana Boat sunscreen never buys her own drinks. I know who she is. She's on Banana Boat posters all over the city. But that don't cut no mierda with me. Tell her, Johnny, tell her this gringo is not going to buy her a drink. So I said it to her, all of it. She got a little huffy and said, Verdad, which means, really? Then he said, tell you what, I'll buy you one, but you have to ask me nice. And she turned tail and stormed right out of there. All right, so flash ahead about 2 hours. The bar's closing. Suddenly, this girl, Claudia, standing right in front of Eddie. She turns to me, the translator, and says, tell him I'm sorry and that he's right. You know, no one's ever said that to me before. So I told Eddie, and Eddie said, what do you think, Johnny? A high-maintenance Latina princess? Or a nice girl just having a bad day? Oops, we're at the end of the show now. Tune in next time for the rest of the story. You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.